This presentation has been previously broadcast.
This is the Drew Mariani Show. Where else can you pray with thousands of other listeners every day? Listen in to the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, where we're here for you on Relevant Radio.
Well, thanks for joining me. Great to be with you. Really, I am so happy to be able to pray with you. It is a pleasure. And I'm grateful for the time we were able to spend yesterday. Father Rocky and I, of course, celebrated Divine Mercy Sunday together, and we were able to pray the chaplet on the day in which the Lord said that the floodgates of His mercy are open. And, look for your book. It's coming. I know a lot of people were wondering about the book on Divine Mercy. It's off the printing presses, and it's en route, so you'll be getting it in the not-too-distant future. If you want to join me, feel free to dial in. Our toll-free number here is 888-914-9149. I'm joined by my colleague, Lucas Holtz, and it's good to have him back. Lucas, good afternoon.
Hey, Drew. Good to be with you.
Anything you want to pray for or lift up as we begin our chaplet?
Yeah, I'd like to pray for all those who are homebound, whether due to illness or facing certain restrictions, whatever it may be, for anyone who's alone. And just know that we're here with you.
All right. Thank you for that prayer. We'll certainly pray for that. I want to pray for an email that came in to me last night that kind of, when I shared it with my wife, I was just going through some of the emails. Like, when you email me, I'm telling you, I read every email. I don't always respond to you because I get so many prayer petitions and emails, but we read them all and we pray for them. And this one came from a young child, I think, I don't know the age of the person, but this person said, could you please ask everyone to pray for my dad? Pray for my dad to stop cheating on my mom and on all of his children. And pray for my mother and all of my family just to get closer to God. That's the prayer of a wounded child asking for prayer for his family, for his dad to stop cheating on his mother and on his siblings. And for his family to come to know God. This is a child who knows God. He's called reaching out to us to pray. So let's do that. Let's pray for all those families where there's infidelity, where there is betrayal, where there's hurt, where there's abuse. Another person here, speaking of that, wrote to me. He says, my husband, I'll keep the name private. Would you please pray for him to honor our marriage and to break his adultery? Ask God to break those evil chains, please. If somebody has him under some sort of spell to free him, please pray for his conversion. I want my husband back. Okay, so we'll lift that up as well. And then, of course, one or two other intentions here. Please pray for a friend who has three spots found on her lungs and a lymph node. She'll be getting a biopsy either Thursday or the week after. So could you keep her in prayer? Sure, we'll pray for everyone with cancer and those who are awaiting those test results. It's going to be a terrifying time. And one other person says, my 30-year-old firefighter son, Adam, has been diagnosed with leukemia. Prayer requested for his full recovery and for his brother John's hard heart. He hasn't spoken to Adam in 12 years. May our Lord of Divine Mercy heal them and bring them to the fold. So we'll pray for both, it's illnesses of the body, but most importantly, division within family members. That's a tough one, that poor parent. We'll just pray for wherever there is disunity. I have a friend, too, who I often think about. His mother and father passed away. He has only one other sibling. It's a brother. They just don't talk to each other. He wants the relationship with his brother, but his brother wants nothing to do with him. So I want to pray for broken relationships, too. They can be very painful. And, Patrick, you said you had something you wanted to lift up as we begin?
Yeah, absolutely, Drew. I would like to pray for all those who have entered the church, and also those who are entering the church during this Easter season, and also for all those getting confirmed as well.
All right, such great intentions. If you're on hold, I'll do my best to get you on. But let's pray right now. And if this is a prayer that means something to you, tell others about it. Let's build our spiritual family. I think the more people who are praying, the louder our spiritual voice becomes. And I just can't imagine the impact we're having. I know that God loves us immeasurably. And when we are united in prayer and offering Him the sacrifice of His Son, I know miracles happen. So as they do happen, by the way, write to me, okay? Just email me, drew@relevantradio.com. And in the byline, put answered prayers and tell me how your prayer was answered, how you didn't need that, operation, or how the cancer disappeared, or how that broken relationship was healed, or how you were miraculously, you got out of that financial, quagmire you were in. God can do all things. I never limit Him. He is a God of miracles. And let's pray for those miracles right now as we begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. I want to pray for Gloria and Denny. If you're listening, it was good to talk with you. They told me about one of their sons that maybe, you know, need a prayer, might be doing some drugs. So we want to pray for anyone with addiction in their life, anyone who might be involved in activities that they should not be. And I just want to lift that up. I want to pray for a woman named Joan. She's a friend of a woman who I know. Her name's Kay, and told her I'd pray for her and lift up you right now. We'll take your intentions. And our first one today comes from Virginia, listening in Modesto, California. Hi, Virginia.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well,
thanks. I'm driving from Modesto right now to Fremont, and I was just wondering if you could lift my brother in prayers. Either God decides to take him or leave him. A car fell on top of him, broke his ribs. His heart stopped twice. They revived him. Now they're saying that because of lack of oxygen in his brain, he will not make it.
If you could lift up Mike
Miguel Salmeron in your prayers today, that would be awesome. So,
look, we're here for you, Virginia.
And I heard miracles do happen, you know, and if that 1%, you never know.
Well, you know, I love that.
And I won't.
No, go ahead.
And I won't even be able to listen to the radio because it cuts off. So if you left me on hold after this, that would be great.
I will. You stay right there, okay? And we're going to pray. And I'm so glad you got through today, because you have an army of prayer warriors. You have an entire spiritual family, not only praying for you, but praying for your brother. And look, doctors might say one thing, but I just want to tell you, Virginia, God can always say something else. And I often think of what the Lord, you know, told St. Faustina. I mean, he says that anything you ask of this chaplet, it will be granted if it's his will. You know, the more soul asks, the more it receives. And he says what wounds his heart is that
I believe it's his will.
Yeah, and he says that, you know, he often says that what wounds him is the fact that people narrow their hearts. They don't ask big enough. We don't ask for those big things. Why do we limit God? Huh? That's what I want to know. Why do we limit God? God can do anything. We think, oh, well, the doctors say he's going to be brain dead. Oh, the cancer's all over the body. I don't care. You know, if it is God's will, if our prayers are made with trust, God can do anything. He can eradicate cancer, and he can bring a person back from the dead. So, Lord, I pray right now for her brother who is struggling now. Doctors are saying, hey, it doesn't look like he's going to make it. And if it's your will, we submit to that. We give you, Lord, him. And we ask that you come to meet him as a merciful Savior. But, Lord, I hold out a big cup, and I ask for miracles so that they may glorify you, that they may glorify your chaplet, so that they may glorify the passion and death of your son, and that others may come to believe. So I pray for miracles for all those now claiming it, in those situations that seem impossible. You know, I have no doubt that God can do anything. So let's pray right now. Lord, I turn to you, and I give you those who need you in this final moment, those who are weak in their faith and trust too, as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to Austin, Texas next. Lori is praying with us there. Hi, Lori.
Hi, Drew. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I would like to pray for Nathan, who is my daughter-in-law's brother. He is age 30, and he is with the Navy Rescue Swim Team serving our country.
Great.
And he was in the middle of doing a drill, and he had cardiac arrest. And he has a very giving spirit that has impacted a lot of people. So he's part of a beautiful Catholic family, so I'm claiming it. We're praying for a miracle, because that's what it would be at this point in time, is praying for a miracle and for immense peace for his family and for God's glory to shine through this situation.
Amen. Let's pray right now for him. So we'll pray for complete recovery for him, for his heart. Lord, I give you Laurie and this intention. We pray for this man who's serving our country and all those who serve and who are willing to lay down their life for the great freedoms and liberties that we have. And I just ask for blessings. But I pray for this man who's in a critical situation right now. I give you his heart. I place it within your sacred and divine heart. And I remember in the diary, St. Faustina's diary entry 420, she says, every soul believing and trusting in my mercy will obtain it. God wants to shower us with his mercy. I am so convinced of it. It's his greatest attribute. Every soul believing and trusting in my mercy will obtain it. So I thank you, Lord, for the way you're going to be answering these prayers as I turn to you again, give you this intention and all those united with me in prayer. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call comes from Nick. He's listening in Chicago. Nick, welcome. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. I have stage 4 bone cancer, and I've had it for a while. And I just pray that God just takes me. I'm in different stages of pain.
I'm so sorry.
I'm emaciated. I just want to leave. I want to go away.
Oh.
I'm 74 years old.
Oh,
and
Nick.
I just want to leave. I want to go with God.
You know, Nick, I love what you're saying, because, I mean, it should be all of our prayer. One day we will all be with him. And right now I'm going to pray for you that God mitigates your pain, okay? And if it's his will that he calls you home so you can enter paradise free from the pain, the tears, and the sorrows of this life, we'll pray for that. But I want to pray for you. You have a family here. We love you. We care about you. And I'll tell you have so many people right now praying for you in this difficult time. And I'm going to pray for you in particular, especially this evening as I spend some time in prayer with the Lord and with my wife. And I want you to remember this as you suffer, okay? The Lord says that when your suffering exceeds your strength, OK, okay? And I know that's where you are right now. Contemplate on the wounds of Christ, okay? And the Lord, meditating on his passion will help you rise above all those things. So, Lord, I'm holding out a big cup right now. I am asking for mercy for this man. I know your mercy is stronger than his misery. And I just ask that you mitigate his pain. You allow it to diminish. You give him a reprieve. And if it's your will, that you bring him home. And I pray for a very peaceful transition. If cancer is the way to eternal life, I ask you, prepare a glorious mansion for him. And I just give you our brother right now as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call comes from Jack. Hey, Nick, you hang in there, okay? I mean it. I am going to be praying for you. You hang in there. Do me a favor, Nick, too. I know you're listening. Please pray for all of us, okay? Suffering is a mystery. It is. It's a mystery of this life. And yet there is a power in it. And I know that God is going to use your suffering right now in a very powerful way. So I ask you to pray for your spiritual family here as you go through this difficult time. Please offer it up, united to that of the Lord on the cross for all of us who pray. And we're going to all be praying for you. Jackie is listening in Dyer, Indiana. Jackie, welcome.
Thank you. I am adding my Aunt Caroline, 91, to our beautiful prayer family community today. She is going to pray with you, Nick. I don't know if God's going to call her home or if God is going to wake her up at this very moment. I am joining with all of you on the miracle train.
Amen.
I believe in God's providence, and I know he has us in the palm of his hand.
Amen.
Give her the grace to not waste her suffering. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I love your spirit, Jackie. I love the way you pray, and I love the way you believe. And I know God is delighted by it, too. We're going to pray for your Aunt Caroline right now, who is in the hospital. We're going to pray again for Nick and for all this. Lord, life is a journey, and it's short. Some of us given a few decades, some of us given a few more. But we're all called to our eternal home with you. And I just pray for that transition to be beautiful. In those final hours, be our advocate, be our merciful Savior, not our just judge. And I just ask in a particular way for miracles again, for healing. If that be your will, so that it may testify to your glory. But if it is not, then Lord, we just submit to you, you know, all of these afflictions and sorrows. And we just thank you for the opportunity to do that. But I do pray for miracles. I love this. We're going to get on that miracle train. I want everybody to jump on board. And Lord, I just ask today that you pull us to victory as we pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, next call comes from Jake. Who's up next? I'm sorry, Sarah? Sarah listening in Carthage, Tennessee. Sarah, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Hi.
Hi.
Okay, so I'm totally blind. My husband suffers from multiple sclerosis.
Wow.
I would like to pray that God would, I'm getting on the train here, I want to pray that God would heal his multiple sclerosis And or if he doesn't, he's still working 4 days a week, and I would like to pray that God would give me, that he would put me in touch with a job so that I can work so that Ray doesn't have to.
Amen. Let's do that right now. Let's pray for those miracles. We'll pray for Ray. I want to pray for you, Sarah. And I just found out of another girl I know. I was shocked. I spoke to her mother the other day. She just was diagnosed with MS. So I want to pray for that. My wife's, my sister-in-law has MS. I want to lift her up. And so I pray for Sarah, those who are visually challenged, those who are blind, those who are looking for employment. I give you the needs, wants, and desires of everybody who is praying with me right now, for their finances, for their health, for their relationships, for their addictions, Lord, for the discernment, for that mother contemplating abortion or that person thinking about harming themselves. I bring to you your children, your spiritual children, and I invoke your great mercy as I pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Lucy,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko,
pray for us.
Father Seraphim Mikalenko,
pray for us.
And all you holy souls in purgatory,
pray for us.
All you angels and saints. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
Feel like you're trying to make sense of everything happening in the world? We'll connect you to some clarity. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, thanks for joining me. It is great to be here with you. Coming up, we've got a lot to talk about. I just want to remind you, look, we just prayed for a lot of different ailments, MS, and a lot of debilitating diseases that are out there. The rates of Parkinson's disease are exploding. They are on the rise. You know, John Paul II, of course, succumbed to Parkinson's disease. And I always found it, I guess, a divine origin that the very miracle, one of the miracles that led towards his canonization was a healing that dealt with Parkinson's disease. So researchers believe they may know why Parkinson's is on the rise. So we'll get into that at the top of the next hour coming up. So if you have somebody you know that has Parkinson's, or if you're concerned about it, maybe it runs in the family, stay with me. We're going to take a look at why Parkinson's disease is exploding, and I'll share with you the theory behind this. I find it just, well, stay with me. We'll get into all that right now. You know, yesterday was the great feast of Divine Mercy. And you know my love of this devotion. I mean, it has transformed my spirituality. And I know it will transform yours as well. I am convinced of it. There's nothing like Divine Mercy. And I've seen it reach to, you know, behind prison bars. I've seen it pierce the most hardened heart. I've seen conversion come as a result of God's divine mercy. And I love the quote that St. Faustina, you know, I often share with you about, you know, the greater the sinner, the Lord said, the greater the right that you have to my mercy. The Lord talks about mercy, how the flames of his mercy are burning him, how they're clamoring to be spent, how he wants to keep pouring them out on souls, but souls don't want to accept him. They don't believe. They don't trust in his mercy. I pray to God I'm never in that camp. But I think about those who've taken their life, right? Those who've died in tragedy or an accident. Judas is one of those characters that come to mind, right? Judas is one of those tragic figures of the salvation history story who took his life. And you know, the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, said it would have been better if he had never been born. How does God's mercy reconcile or sync with that, if you will? There is a there's a movement afoot right now where people are trying to rehabilitate Judas, and some people are questioning, is he in hell, is he in heaven, do we know? You know, it was, what, 10 days ago that we marked Holy Wednesday, Spy Wednesday? We've talked about Judas back then. You probably read the Gospel of St. Matthew where Judas goes to the chief priest, right? He asks if they're willing to give him, you know, if they're going to, if they'll help, you know, in handing Jesus over to him, and he says, sure. He got paid for, you know, 30 pieces of silver. From that time on, he looked for the opportunity to hand him over, Matthew writes. And the New Testament, if you're, you know, we're all very familiar with the story, does not treat Judas very kindly. St. John accuses him of pilfering their money bag for his own purposes. So he was not the most ethical man, but neither were most, were some of the apostles. Look at Matthew, was a tax collector, right? He cheated a lot of people. But Judas is in a little bit of a different camp, right? All the synoptic gospels place Judas at the end of the list of apostles. They have a tagline that goes with something like this, Judas, and the tagline is, who betrayed Jesus? Matthew says he hanged himself. Neither Mark nor Luke mention his end. But Luke does, you know, if you read his gospel, he reports pretty graphically on Judas's end. I love Luke's gospel, to be honest with you. You know, it's, you know, everything from the nativity to his depiction of Judas's end in the first chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. I'm going to spare you the details, but it's very different than the way Matthew reports it. But look, all in all, the New Testament is very clear. Judas was not a happy man, and he died in a horrible way. And in fact, I'm haunted by the words when Jesus himself said it would have been better if he had never been born. That's the last thing I'd ever want to hear from the just judge, right? The man who is, I'm going to stand before one day as a naked soul and have to evaluate and account for my actions. You know, John records Jesus telling Pilate that this is why he who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin, right? So despite all this evidence, right, we can go through all the cases. There are people right now trying to rehabilitate Jesus, Judas. So what's that mean? You might have read this. You might be hearing about it. You know, they're trying to make Judas out actually to be a good guy and not the betrayer that he was. And some of the people are saying that Judas was just doing what he had to do, right? He played his role. What if he didn't do that? You know, would Jesus have gone to the cross? You know, he's playing his role. So all the prophecies concerning Jesus, they could be fulfilled. But when they do this, and here's where I pause just a little bit, they tread very dangerously close to determinism, you know, or to predestination, something that John Calvin was known for. And they're also treading very close to the idea that there really isn't anyone in hell at all, which is something the church has never taught. Now, we don't know where Judas is. I don't know where Judas is. But I think this warrants being talked about. How does mercy sink with the betrayal and the death of Judas? There's a lot of people who take their life, and I think quite often they do it out of despair. They do it out of addiction. They do it out of, you know, some sort of reason that motivates them beyond the point of rationality and reason. The Lord told St. Faustina, he says, although a person is, you know, at the point of death, God gives that soul an interior vivid moment so that the soul's willing. It has the possibility of returning to God. You can read that in diary entry, 1698 in her diary. In an earlier passage in 1498, the Lord tells Faustina that he reaches out to a soul three times. He calls out to that soul. Faustina says Jesus calls to a soul a third time, but I'll go back. Here's what she says in 1486. Let me just share part of this, and then Monsignor Pope's going to be joining me. I'm just intrigued by this whole concept of Judas and the rehabilitation of him and God's mercy and how we filter through this. So St. Faustina writes this: "O soul steeped in darkness, do not despair. All is not yet lost. Come and confide in your God, who is love and mercy." She says, but the soul, deaf even to this appeal, wraps itself in Jesus. Jesus calls out again, "My child, listen to the voice of your merciful Father. If the soul arises this, for me there is no mercy." If that's what the soul says, then it falls into greater darkness and despair, which is a foretaste of hell, and it makes itself unable to draw near God. But then Jesus will call out to a soul a third time, she says. But if the soul remains deaf and blind, hardened and despairing, then the mercy of God begins to exert itself without any cooperation from the soul. God grants it final grace. If that too is spurned, St. Faustina writes, God will leave the soul in this self-chosen disposition for eternity. So, in short, everyone has plenty of opportunity to turn to God in their hearts before they die. I think God loves us so much, so infinitely, so deeply, so unfathomably, that he gives us these graces. God continues to call to lost souls, reaching out to that soul with his grace, even to the very last moment of that person's life. So if you had someone who's committed suicide, has taken their life, who has, overdosed or died by tragedy or accident, maybe they weren't close to God or away from anything, I think God reaches out to them. God is love and mercy. It's his greatest attribute. But it brings us full circle. What camp did Judas fall into? Was he that soul that continued to reject God's appeal? We don't know. I'm joined today by somebody who will help us evaluate this. We'll take your calls too, so feel free to join us. It's always a delight to talk to Monsignor Charles Pope, pastor of Holy Comforter St. Cyprian. It's a very beautiful parish community in Washington, D.C. And follow the great writings of Monsignor Pope. You can check him out at msgrpope.com. So it's monsignorpope.com. Hey, Monsignor, thanks for your time. Always a delight to have you back. Good afternoon.
Yeah, good to be here. Thanks.
So, I'm seeing a lot of writing recently, just post, the death, the passion, and resurrection of our Lord on Judas. Mm-hmm. And it raised this question, because I'm always in the camp of mercy, and I have others who tend to have a foot more in the camp of God's justice, and I think God is both. And Judas is this tragic figure, it's so tragic. What are you seeing? Why would anyone want to make Judas out to be a good guy, or at least not to be such a bad guy? He got caught up in circumstances beyond his control. He was fulfilling prophecy. You hear the mantra. Give me your take on Judas and help us understand God's justice and mercy in light of him.
Yeah, I think those who want to let Judas off the hook are guilty of two errors. One is that we live in a very emotions-based culture, and we know that Judas regretted what he did. Look, he regretted it. So everything's about emotion. And then the second thing is, you mentioned that the double predestinationism of the Calvinist influences a lot of American, many other lines too, that he had to fill this role. He had no choice, And so those things, of course, he did have a choice. Now, God had always known what his choice would be and planned accordingly. But Judas acted freely, number one. Number two, he did regret. But as St. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, I think it's the 8th chapter, maybe the 7th, there's two kinds of guilt or sorrow, godly sorrow and worldly sorrow. Godly sorrow, he says, produces repentance, whereas worldly sorrow brings death. So if you want to have a comparison, compare Judas and Peter. Now, Judas regretted what he had done and in a way couldn't live with himself, so he ended his life. Whereas Peter certainly also regretted what he had done, but he waited 3 whole weeks before the Lord finally said, "Let's talk, Peter, at the lakeside. Do you love me?" And Peter was willing to live with that sense of his sorrow and his guilt for having denied the Lord, whereas Judas wouldn't. He couldn't, and he despaired unto himself, whereas Peter repented unto the Lord. I think that's the substantial difference between the two of them. Can you imagine, though, Drew, I, like you, regret. What would it have been if Judas had repented to the Lord? Hmm. I mean, can you imagine all the churches and shrines, you know, Judas, yeah. The parish of St. Judas, you know, refuge of sinners.
Yeah, I love it.
You know, but he didn't. He went and he despaired and he killed himself. Now, regarding suicide, just one quick thing to say. Quick disclosure, sure. My own sister died of suicide. Hmm. There's a new book that's come out on suicide, published by various authors, and I'm one of them. My sister was, of course, certifiably mentally ill. She was a paranoid schizophrenic. She died in a fire. She heard voices and things all her life, and she would do terrible things like setting fires, and she stabbed people. And so, again, I don't hold her personally responsible. Right. And the church is careful to say, look, many, if not most, but many commit suicide because they're very seriously ill. However, we have something new that's emerged, and I warn everybody. This physician-assisted suicide thing, this is forethought. It is a rejection of God's providence. It is much more serious than someone who, out of despair or some horrible emotional experience or mental illness, commits suicide. You be careful. That's why the church has to continue to hold that simply taking our life by our own hand is, at least objectively speaking, a very serious sin, because my life belongs to God. Yeah. And there are those today who claim that right, and that they're in a different category. So again, but as far as Judas and others, I think that what that's we want to say is that Judas despaired unto himself, Peter repented unto the Lord.
Yeah. You know, Father, you bring up a great point today. There's a tragic a piece of legislation that took place too. And we need to pray for our country, especially our elected leaders here in the United States, in the great state of New Mexico. They have a Democratic governor there, Michelle Lujan Grisham. She signed a bill, the Elizabeth Whitefield End of Life Options Act, today, and it's a bill that allows for assisted suicide. Catholic News Agency reported on it earlier. I was talking about it earlier in the program, and this woman became an advocate for assisted suicide in her final years. And it's so tragic. We have, I think, there is something like 8 states right now that allow for the killing of those who may or may not be dying. I remember it used to be called the Hemlock Society. I mean, who wants to be part of that? So now it's, you know, compassionate care, whatever they're calling them themselves. They change these words and they make it, they make it look like it's mercy. But I'm glad you said that, because people need to understand that assisted suicide, when somebody's really dying, they've got pain throughout their body, they're dying from cancer, something else is shutting down. Yeah, just on that point, before we take some calls, and I will take some calls, open the phones here in a second, speak to that, because, you know, we live in a culture where everyone wants to be, they want to be merciful, they want to help someone. It looks, even the movies often portray it this way. Yeah. Oh, you're putting this person out of their pain and their suffering. Yeah. Speak to that just for a moment. Bring some clarity to that, because, again, that is assisting someone to take their own life.
Yeah. Well, again, it's all people care about today is the body, not the soul. And just, to, again, disclosure, my mother and my sister both died suddenly and very tragically.
Oh, my gosh.
But my father died after a long illness. And I want to tell you something, Drew, and everyone who's listening. Those were the most important 6 months that my father ever lived. You know, he buried the hatchet. He, you know, repented of many things. You know, he had come back to the church many years before that, but he still had a lot of, and I can't begin to tell you what that was for his soul. Yes, he was suffering physically, but his soul was being rescued, and he was being, St. Paul says, these afflictions, these momentary, we're not discouraged. These momentary afflictions are producing for us a weight of glory beyond compare. Suffering to the modern secular world is meaningless. But for us who are Christians, pay attention, it is meaningful. And the Lord has something in mind for us. He's permitting it for some greater purpose. And all this COVID stuff, if people were as concerned about their souls as they were about their bodies. So I could go on, you got me started. But at the end of the day, please, everyone, understand, dying, physical dying, is not the worst thing. Losing your soul. And there's a very important relationship between the dying process and doing that final letting go. and purging of our attachments.
You know, I agree with that. I have to take a short pause. So when we come back, we can pick up on that. I'll take your calls, too. If you want to join us, 888-914-9149. If you're on hold, I'll get you on the air. That window between this life and all of eternity is so important. And I know that St. Faustina wrote also in her diary about her willingness to take on all the sufferings of the martyrs just in order to move a degree closer to God in heaven. And I think about purgatory and how we can mitigate that, you know, how we can atone and make reparation for the ways that we have betrayed or failed God in our own suffering. Suffering, in some respects, if you look at it properly, it can be both efficacious, meritorious, and even a blessing. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Monsignor Pope. We'll take a few more of your calls. There is a movement to rehabilitate Judas. We're taking a look at the tragic story of Judas in the light of both God's mercy and his justice.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
And the council of the elders met to see how they might rid themselves of Jesus. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, who was one of the 12.
Pray that you may not enter into temptation. If thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done.
The Drew Mariani Show is on Relevant Radio.
It's great to be back here with you, taking a look at what was a key moment in the passion story and salvation history, really. Judas betraying Christ, and Christ saying it's better if he'd never been born. And there's a movement right now. I've been reading in several different places. People are trying to rehabilitate Judas. And as I mentioned a little bit earlier, it's kind of a fine line that you have to walk because, you know, you can start to enter into some very tenuous areas of theology, determinism or predestination, some of those things where, you know, he didn't really have much of a choice or he was playing his role. We're talking with Monsignor Charles Pope about this, and it led us into the conversation about suicide. Where is God when it comes to suicide and mercy and justice? You know, Christ said, Judas, it would have been better if he'd never been born. And I will take your calls. I know a number of people waiting on hold. Monsignor, I want to pick up on this because we're talking about your own personal loss and even the death of your father. And there was something very meritorious about having suffering in the end. But, you know, I have a brother-in-law who does not believe in God. He's a good man, as I was sharing with you at the break. He'd give you the shirt off his back. But, you know, when his mother died, I thought, oh, that's certainly, he loved his mother very much. That's going to, it's going to awaken that God door in him. It's going to open it. He's going to want to be reunited with her one day. But he said to me, no, Drew, I don't think we're any different than the animal that dies in the forest, no different than the roadkill. So what do you say to somebody who is not religious, who does not really believe? They're in pain, they're suffering, and they want to take their life. As I said, we have 8 states right now that have legalized assisted suicide. How do we, what's the secular argument for something, whether your phone got on mute, you mute, we'll give you a second.
I'm sorry,
there,
yeah,
there you are. Well,
my mute button. You know, the secular or the non-biblical argument is you know, your right to die becomes my duty to die. So that, you know, at some point, and we see this already happening in some places where euthanasia or so-called euthanasia and, you know, right to die stuff has been more lengthy in the Netherlands and places like that. We start to see that people become kind of obliged. The insurance companies start saying, we're not paying anymore. Right. You know, people with disabilities, you know, those who are in, you know, so-called persistent vegetative states and or those who have serious mental abilities, their lives just become too costly. Don't you think it would be just, you know, who would want to live a life like that anyway? Can't we just go ahead and take their lives? So you claim a right to die, but that becomes my duty when I become either too expensive or my condition is something which is lingering, you know, and you see the idea. So I think ultimately we have to be careful because you cannot say that any human life is of no value. And yet many are willing to say that today.
Well, let's do this. We only have a few moments. We'll grab some calls, and I'm grateful for everyone's patience. Mm-hmm. James has been waiting in St. Louis to join you. Hi, James. You're on the air.
Hey, Drew. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
One thing I was reading in the Gospels was Luke chapter 22, verse 31, where Jesus actually said that he prayed for Peter. So when he denied Christ three times, to give him strength. And I just thought that was, you know, curious or odd that you don't see anywhere in the scriptures of him doing the same thing for Judas.
All right, great observation.
Well, I would add, I would ask you to, first of all, that's actually in John's gospel. But at the end of the day, I want you to notice that that was said after the resurrection to Peter, who was repentant, who had come to him and was recognizing. Remember, I told you earlier the difference between Judas and Peter was that Judas wasn't willing to live with his guilt. Peter lived for over 3 weeks with his struggle and finally talked to the Lord at the lakeside. And the big difference is the repentance. Now, the Lord can pray for us, but that doesn't mean that we're going to repent. It's not like the Lord prays and therefore Shazam. You know, he respects our freedom. And ultimately, there's a hell. And there is judgment day because God respects our freedom to either accept his mercy or reject it. I don't need it because I didn't do anything wrong, or I don't deserve it, and I'm just going to just take care of myself. And so those are the things that I think make a distinction between Judas and Peter.
Yeah. All right. Hey, James, I hope that helped. I appreciate the call. Thank you. We'll move along to Janet listening in Illinois. Janet, good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon. I don't believe... we should bother anymore with any kind of God, be it because there is not one. And just concern yourself with living a good life, doing well by your family and friends, and hoping that you'll find satisfaction in taking care of others. And
well,
the Catholic Church
if that's true.
Is a pathetic church today.
Okay, well, hang on, Janet. Let's talk about it. Go ahead, Monsignor. Let's respond.
Well, if there isn't a God, who's to say what living a good life means? You know, some people like the Nazis thought it was, you know, eliminating Jews. People in the 1840s in America didn't think owning slaves was, you know, was bad or against the living the good life. Somewhere along the line, I think we have to have someone or something above us that isn't us that says to us, this isn't right. And we had a long time to reject slavery, but we did. We had a long time to reject some of these things. So I would just argue that your argument is standing in the middle of the air, but there's nothing to support it if there isn't a God. It's just your opinion about what means the good life, and or my opinion. And we need something bigger than just you or me. And that's the only I can do in a very short, you know, answer.
All right, Janet, thank you. I'm glad you're listening. Keep listening, and we'll be praying for you. I mean, one day, you know,
amen.
We'll know for sure whether God exists or not. I know he exists. I'm in a relationship with him.
But... you and I, Janet, sit down in the kingdom of heaven one day.
Yeah, amen to that. Amen.
Where we won't be so pathetic.
That's right. It'll be glorious. I can't wait. Hey, Lucy in Milwaukee, thank you for your patience. You're on with Monsignor Pope.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. My question is, if, you know, as it says in the St. Faustina's diary, that God comes to a soul three times, offering graces and the final chance to repent, my struggle is always, we must know we're dying, right? We must have some sort of inkling that this is what is being offered to us. How is it possible that anyone doesn't take God up on that? Mm-hmm. Like, how can there be people in hell? Now, I believe there's a hell, and I know people go there, but in my heart, I want to believe that might not be the case, and I don't know if that's good or bad, but that's my question.
Yeah. Great question.
Well, only for the sake of time, I got to get real quick, but sloth is the answer. There are many people who, St. Thomas Aquinas describes sloth as sorrow or sadness or aversion to the good things that God is offering. So God is offering something very good, beautiful, negative, but that's a lot of work. I might have to change. I might have to give up some of my favorite sins. I might have to be less greedy. You know, and they start to see obligations, and they reject it. So I think ultimately the kingdom, hell exists not because God is mean, but because not everybody wants the values of the kingdom of heaven, which are things like chastity, mercy, forgiveness, love of one's enemies. There's a lot of people in this world that don't want a thing to do with any of those things. Or at least some of them.
And God's not going to force it, because hell exists not because God is mean, but because he's respectful of our ultimate choice, as he was with Judas, to betray him and then finally go in despair and kill himself, but have, you know, not turn back to him. And I think ultimately we can't describe hell in any other way except to say that God is respectful of our freedom to either accept or reject the values of his kingdom, one of which is, I admit I did wrong, I go to God, I say I'm sorry, and the flood mercy opened for us.
I love it. Well, Monsignor, thank you for your time. I've got to leave it right there. As you know, we're up against the clock, as we say. Keep writing. Again, it's msgrpope.com. And where can people follow you, Monsignor? What's the best way to get connected?
Yeah, there, or also at, you know, just blog.adw.org is the direct blog address. And I'm also at National Catholic Register, and I'm Catholic, or Sunday Visitor. I'm all over.
Well, that sounds great. We'll keep linking over you. Keep writing, okay? And we'll talk again soon. Thanks for all the clarity today. All right, stay with us. When we come back, there's been an increase in Parkinson's disease, and scientists think they know why. I'll fill you in.
Have Alexa? Just say, Alexa, enable the relevant radio skill. You can listen live, listen to any of our archived shows, or any of our recorded prayers.
For more information, go to relevantradio.com/Alexa.